Chapter 20. Allison looked around the empty parking lot as she stepped away from her spider. The wind blew an empty paper bag across the all-but-deserted space. She layered a shield over herself as she marched toward a black sedan parked in the corner. While she didn't expect any trouble, that didn't mean it might not come. She arrived at the passenger side and magic radiated off the door. With a sigh, she ran her finger along it and funneled magic into a specific glyph she'd been told to use. This is overkill. Is he only doing this to fuck with me? The glyph glowed and the door clicked. She opened it and slipped inside to settle comfortably in the leather-upholstered seat. Agent Latherby sat in the driver's seat, a concerned look on his face and his hands on the wheel. "Was all this cloak and dagger really necessary?" she asked. "We've talked about all kinds of secret crap in your office, and now suddenly we meet in mysterious parking lots with code glyphs and who knows what else. It's weird." Her stomach tightened. She hadn't considered the obvious possibility that the PDA agent had stumbled onto something dangerous enough to warrant additional protections. "I hope this isn't the government. I don't have time to deal with a rogue faction. It might have worked out for Dad, but that was only because another group in the government had already targeted them. It's also not like the old days. They hire magicals now." He shrugged.
"I'm only doing what you requested."
Allison frowned.
"What are you talking about?"
The agent looked sharply at her, his expression one of slight surprise.
"You asked me to be, in your own words, extremely and unusually circumspect about this matter. And so I'm being circumspect in an accordingly extreme and unusual way. In addition to the meeting locations and the spells on the doors, I've warded our position and took alternate routes and a number of other measures to minimize the chance that someone might be aware of this particular meeting, Miss Brownstone. That might have been unnecessary, but I do feel I owe you some consideration given the many times you have aided me."
"Fair enough," she chuckled nervously. "I won't be a bitch about you doing exactly what I asked you to do. So what do you have for me? Is it that bad?"
"As the absence of particular evidence is not foolproof, I can't fully state that it's either good or bad."
He paused for a moment, his expression somber.
"I've asked around, discreetly, about any potential governmental ops that might involve you or your people, directly or indirectly, whether intended to be hostile or not. I'm not talking about major official operations either. I can't find even the slightest hint, including pulling strings with certain people who owe me favors, that any government agency is currently targeting you or your people."
He frowned intently.
"Again, I can't state that this proves there's no one targeting you. But I dug deeply on this, and the available evidence is at least strongly against it."
She absorbed his words, processed the information, and compared it to what she already knew.
"I honestly don't know if I'm happy or sad to hear that. This might have been easier if it was simply some group of rogue federal agents trying to pick a fight with me. At the same time, though, I have more of a chance if I'm not dealing with the government."
"I should note,"
Agent Latherby continued,
"that even if the government was involved, it'd make sense for the PDA to be included on some level. We're the agency with the greatest training and experience in dealing with dangerous magical threats. There have been times where we've been used in that capacity, even if we weren't completely aware of all the details."
He gave her a measured look.
"I do appreciate that you might not feel comfortable enough to share all the information of what might have occurred with me. But I would ask, Miss Brownstone, that if there is something dangerous, a threat to the city, that you inform me. I know you have your reasons to distrust both the government and the PDA in particular, but I think I've long since proven that I'm at least trustworthy."
Allison glanced hastily out the window at some movement. It was only the paper bag from before.
"I'm here right now talking to you because I trust you."
She shook her head.
"If I have any reason to believe the situation might change, I'll inform you immediately. But right now, there's no threat to anyone but my people. Well, my people and our pets. I've handicapped him by not telling him the truth about Omni. But the more people who know about this, the more danger everyone involved is in, and I don't believe he's a threat to the city. I don't need to put him in an awkward situation where he thinks he needs to contain Omni, when the real problem is these suited freaks." The man nodded slowly and looked forward out the windscreen. There was nothing in front of them but a rusty fence and an empty lot.
With all that said, I did find both NSA and CIA-sourced warnings that attempted to raise awareness of increased hostile intelligence collection activity in the greater Seattle area. It spiked particularly in the last 6 months.
She frowned. What, you're saying this is the Russians then? Chinese? Or Acerans? She shook her head. Whoever we were dealing with didn't strike me as Russian or Chinese spies, that's for certain. She shrugged. Not that I'm an expert on either of those. I'm used to dealing with criminals, not spies.
Not Russian or Chinese?
His gaze slid back to hold hers.
What about Aura Saren?
Well, maybe. Allison shrugged. But they had thousands of years to learn how to spy on humans, and so I think they'd be a little less obvious than the guys I dealt with.
Fair enough, but be aware of the possibility. Something serious may be going on. And if you have reason to believe it involves foreign threats, you need to keep me informed. I appreciate that you have your personal issues and you don't want to drag other people into them. But at the same time, the nature of the threats you face often end up becoming a problem for others.
She nodded. Will do. Her thoughts were laden with concerns over the attacks when Allison pulled out of the parking lot in her Fiat. Giving Omni up would have been the easiest solution. But in addition to alienating Hannah, that meant turning over a dangerous and mysterious creature to the strange men. She found it hard to believe that anyone who ate strange crystals to mutate themselves had only the safety of the country or planet in mind. It's almost like ultimate. She considered that. There might be a connection there, but at the same time, there could be a connection to a variety of dangerous organizations and powers she'd faced in the past. Ultimate started in Texas, and Hannah had found Omni in Seattle, not Texas. It must be a coincidence. And from what I've heard, ultimate mutations aren't always the same thing. This is less like ultimate and more like a potion or a normal artifact. I have to remember what everyone keeps telling me. I can't personally solve every problem in the country or the city. For now, I need to focus on whoever these men are. Maybe they thought they were doing the right thing. Maybe they didn't. But they almost killed Hannah, and there are some things I can't forgive. Allison's hands tightened around the wheel, and she took a few deep breaths to calm herself. Her friend was okay, and now it was time to take the fight to those who had ambushed them. I don't need a truth spell to know those men don't care about Omni because they're worried about him hurting someone. Maybe this ends with us talking it out, but I really doubt that. Some people only understand force, not reason. She was halfway back to her house in her Fiat when the phone rang with a call from Tahir. Automatically, she sent it to speaker and shook her head a few times to try to clear it of some of her lingering dark thoughts. It was time to be a leader. Tahir might not show it in an obvious way, but he loved Hannah, and her near death had to eat at him as much as it did at her. The meeting with Latherby was a bust, she explained.
He had no information for you at all?
I can't say it was a waste of time, she replied. He provided decent confirmation that these guys probably aren't anyone in our government, but he also suggested it could be someone in a foreign government.
That's unlikely.
I agree.
Fortunately, I have succeeded where he had failed,
the infomancer advised her, his voice infused with smugness. It was almost comforting to hear him sound like that, given the situation. We're all best when we're acting and thinking like we normally do. If we can defeat the Seventh Order, we can stop these freaks from messing with us.
You succeeded?
She performed a mirror check, focused more on suspicious cars than normal traffic. She didn't want the suit brigade to damage her beloved vehicle, and that required more situational awareness.
Then give me good news I can really use.
Yes, I've succeeded in a spectacular manner, he explained. I just finished my confirmation of the information. At the same time, I won't deny that some of my recent success can be attributed to fortune. I've spent considerable time attempting to trace the earlier message by relying heavily on infomancer techniques. But things keep dead-ending. What I realized is that this failure likely has less to do with superior infomancy on the part of our enemies as opposed to whatever inherent anti-tracking magic our current foes may possess.
Okay, that makes sense, but how does that help us? Allison asked.
Changing my paradigm has allowed me to approach this investigation in a different manner. My earlier confirmation of the fact it was a fake account was based heavily on non-infomancer work. I've focused more on that, as I now realize I will not be able to simply apply superior technique or brute magical force to defeat their defenses. I won't tire you with the entire chain of evidence and techniques, but the important summary point is that I have a possible location to investigate. Unfortunately, my direct drone and camera's efforts fail for no apparent reason, which only raises my suspicion that this location must be associated with our newfound omni-hunting foes.
She drew a deep breath. This is good news. And if we pay them a visit on their home turf, they might not have anywhere to easily escape to. We can either finish them off or convince them to stop targeting us or Omni.
Yes, I'd thought that as well. I'll leave the tactical planning to you, but I'll admit I have a personal interest in seeing them suffer for what they've done.
She grimaced.
There's one small problem with this plan.
Which is what?
He asked and sounded a little skeptical. She hadn't meant to challenge the genius of his abilities or his accomplishment.
If we raid what we think is their base, we'll need the whole main team for safety.
She rested a single hand on the wheel and gestured with the other, even though he wasn't in the car.
Which means we'll leave Brownstone Security underdefended. These men knew enough to send 3 separate teams to us on the same night, which means they're probably watching us. If we all show up at their doorstep, they might have a reserve squad ready to raid the building. While I'm confident that Brownstone Security can defend itself when there is at least one of us there, I'm not so sure there won't be casualties without one of us there to counter their abilities. And we don't know if we've seen everything they can do.
Ah, I understand, he snorted. But the solution is obvious, don't you think?
No, not so obvious,
Allison sighed.
I simply don't want to create trouble for Jerry and the others. They don't even know what's going on with Omni. I don't like keeping all this from them, but there are some secrets that have to remain with us. At the same time, I don't want anyone getting hurt for a secret they aren't a party to.
Then bring Omni with us. If we can't collectively protect him when we're gathered and have the initiative, it's only a matter of time anyway before they take him, and we might even be fortunate. If he transforms again, he might eliminate many of the enemy himself. He's obviously meant, at least partially, for battle situations.
She considered that for a moment as she changed lanes.
I'll have to think about it. But no matter what, we'll strike, and soon.